It's wonderful to meet you. And how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm taking off a couple of days before Labor Day to just kind of relax a little. And, yes, I'm on the East Coast. It's lovely. Lovely, lovely.
Okay, so you're from the East Coast, but you are currently living on the West Coast.
Yes, I've been living in L.A. for 13 years.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, so I've been here. I've definitely been in L.A. for a while.
Okay, because I saw evidence of you being an East Coaster, and so I was
exactly.
A little confused about where you were.
yeah, no problem, of course.
Yeah.
And so I'm in sales. I've been in sales, like media marketing sales, for over a decade. I started in advertising sales in New York in the mid-90s, and then kind of ended up finding my way into other type of marketing, a little bit more non-traditional and creative marketing and media jobs. And, you know, right now I'm 45, and I don't know how many more years I can just do this and be, you know, chasing after dollars. And it's absolutely, it can be very, very stressful. There are times when in the last decade I've been doing really well, and I would say for the past maybe about five years, things haven't been great, and I've really been able to somehow get jobs, like, you know, a year here and then, you know, find another place a year and then another place, but not really building towards anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at a new company. I've been at this digital media company, very progressive and forward-thinking, young, mostly millennial people. And I'm selling for one product. And I had a pretty rough, stressful spring where, like, nothing was coming through for sales, nothing at all.
Oh,
and I was pretty much convinced. You know, I was wondering when the speech would come. And I got very stressed out. And then my luck, you know, some of my business kind of turned around. And, you know, I definitely feel like I'm in a much better place. And because the company is also a young company, a digital media company, they're changing a lot. So things kind of morph. And now I'm going to be taking on some different roles, which I think will be a better fit for me, where I'll be selling more creatively. And right now I'm selling a little bit of a technical product, which is not really, you know, something I'm super passionate, but I knew it was a good opportunity to get into this field, because I did make a transition from more traditional out-of-home media sales and to, like, get into the digital world. I was very lucky to get this position. It wasn't through a friend, person who got me in. But otherwise, you know, recruiters were definitely, you know, not really didn't know how they could help me, being since I wasn't in digital marketing. But that's really, you know, for the media world, digital is definitely where all of the major action is happening.
Right.
Not TV, it's not magazines.
Mm-hmm. Magazines,
you know,
Yeah,
TV and sponsorships, like, really a lot of the marketing dollars are going towards digital.
Right.
Social media.
Yeah.
Which I'm in that world now. I mean, I successfully at least made that transition, and now I have this company which is pretty reputable in the space.
Nice.
It's now at least, you know, I did bank another year, so I banked a year, and I have some more, you know, from the time that I reached out to Sharon, I was definitely in a worse place than I am now.
Oh.
And so, you know, I'm not desperate to leave. In fact, I'd love to start kicking ass, because the other thing too about sales is once you start building equity that people know you can get to the right people, that you start, you know, making sales, then you've had equity. But, you know, for someone who hasn't been there that long, and, you know, they don't have that much of the history, it's hard to feel secure.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And then the other thing, too, is I am 45. I'm going to be 50 in 5 years. I don't think I'm going to be doing this. And it's like, well, what are my next steps? What's my next career that, you know, I'm not just a gun for hire for a company to sell and see if it works out for the both of us, but is there, you know, something else I could be doing that I could be making, you know, a good living, but that I'm not necessarily chasing and calling people for money? Because that just definitely, you know, it gets exhausting.
Yeah. It gets old. It gets old.
Yeah.
And
calling for business all the time.
Yeah. And it tends to not be people doing that, especially in the advertising media kind of realm past sort of the 50-year mark. It tends to be people in the younger years.
Yeah.
And because I think it gets old. I think that's and, you know, you've got to have an impressive background. You're starting with Shape and Cosmo and, you know, gosh, going through some really great companies. And congratulations for making that leap because, you know, the industry changed so much. And, you know, print was big and then TV was big. And then now you've gotten into digital media. And congratulations for making that leap because I know that was really hard.
Yeah, definitely. And I knew I had to take maybe not a job that was like super, super, you know, I would be passionate and crazy about just to get into the door of a company that had a lot of different areas that maybe I could eventually tap.
So congratulations for making that leap because I know that was hard. And it sounds like you sold something that you weren't passionate about for a while. And you made a turnaround, yes, like it wasn't happening, and you made that turnaround. So congratulations for that, too. And I'm so happy to hear that now you're going to get to sell something more creative and have more passion about it. But it sounds like what you're saying is you still, even though you're not feeling quite as down as you were when you first reached out to Sharon, that you still would like to explore what other options might be for you in the future.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because I'm definitely not going to be able to do this for, you know, I don't want to keep, you know, just finding another place I can, you know, be for another year or 2 years, just make it through. I want to have something that I can feel secure about and, you know, that I'm interested in and, but still, you know, a lot of people mentioned to me, like, well, what about development? What about working for, you know, a not-for-profit? And then to me, that sounds like you're in sales with less money and less. Now I'm, yeah, you have to bring, so what's the difference between bringing in $1 million, you know, for a for-profit company versus, I don't know, $1 million to $1 million for a not-for-profit, and I have no expense account to help me do that. Mm-hmm. I have no perks. I have my base salary is probably much lower, or maybe not. Who knows? But definitely not a book, you know?
Yeah. So some people would feel moved by that because they'd feel like they were doing something that was more meaningful. But, you know, if you don't feel moved by, you know, what their mission is, then really what you've done is just give up a lot of the money and the perks, and you're still chasing money.
I actually do have a big part of my life that I do devote to not-for-profit, doing activism, you know, like Women Against Gun Violence, like that's something I'm doing.
I do a lot of work like that. And here's the thing, you know, do you want to do your volunteer work doing the exact same thing you do day to day? No, you want to do something different. You know, you want to develop other, you want to stretch other muscles and other skills. So That's not the answer, I don't think. And, you know, we could explore it and see what it looks like. But so you're looking for something that would make you feel secure, that would still bring in money. It sounds like you may possibly be open to bringing in a little bit less money in the future. Is that true, or?
It's a possibility. I don't really have a big overhead. I don't have any kids, I have that flexibility.
Or here's the thing, you bring in the same amount of money every year instead of having it come up and down.
Yes, exactly. And feel like myself is just, myself is also overhead.
Right. So you kind of know, and you have benefits and those kinds of things. And it's something that you feel interested in. And I'm sure there's other criteria for it.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
And so let me let you know this. I am talking to you to find out if you are a match for me or for one of my Donna Shoulder coaches. So,
sure.
You know, I've got 10 Donna Shoulder coaches, and so I'm just, you know, and I have very few slots available. I really just have one. And so we're exploring right now. But let me let you know what I have to offer for you for this. I created a process about 12 years ago for career exploration that we can do part of or all of, and we just kind of pick and choose what's helpful for the client in the process. And what we do is we create a list of criteria, which we've already started. So the criteria so far are that it feels secure, that it's interesting to you, and possibly that it has benefits. I don't know if that's a criteria or not. We'd have to decide. There's probably more, you know, a criteria is not chasing dollars, right? So,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know if we choose that as a criteria or not, but, I think it would be a criteria, whether we put it on the list or not. I think sales jobs would be eliminated off the bat. So we have criteria. The other thing we're developing is a list of possibilities, and the possibilities are jobs. And, you know, we would put on our list sales because we'd want to see it in comparison to other things.
Sure.
And so we would rate it against the criteria to see how it measures to other things. It would be our baseline. And then we would create a list of other things, and we would put nonprofit, biz development on there, and we put some other things, partnership development versus, you know, straight sales. And then we put some other things, you know, could be teaching, could be being a professor, could be, you know, whatever we find and explore on that list. And so we have a process that helps you develop the criteria and develop the possibilities. The criteria come from several areas. One are your values, and we have an inventory to help you discover your values. And that's really, really important, because if you do work that aligns with some of your values, you feel more fulfilled. So I think that's really important. And you may not be doing work right now that aligns with much of your values. And, you know, I can hear right now that creativity is probably one of the criteria.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when you're selling technical stuff, it doesn't meet your value of creativity, so you're not as fulfilled.
No, and it does make me confident talking about, like, optimization. And it's just not, like, I'm much better when I'm creative, and I have had success being creative and even selling.
Yeah, and I can see it in your LinkedIn profile. I can see, you know, the jobs that you've been in, and the, you know, the way the companies are described, that there's a theme of creativity in there. So that, and I bet you anything, when you do the values inventory, that creativity is going to be one of the things that pops up in the top five. So we take your values. We also take elements from your personality, because your personality needs to match the work you do, right?
Yep.
And so we take some criteria from that. We take some criteria from your desired life. What do you want your life and your work to be like? and we take your learning style. And then we also interview you, and we select some criteria just from, just like what I did just now, that you want it to be secure and interesting. Then we help you with exploring possibilities. I'm sorry, did you have something you wanted to say?
Nothing. No, I'm good.
Oh, okay. I heard a little noise, and I thought maybe I was talking over you. Sorry.
Nope.
Then we help you by brainstorming. We help you with some exercises to do to find possibilities. You list everything everything you thought of when you were five and in high school, and things people have told you, and you ask friends, and then
I love it. I'm in. No, I love it. This is great.
Okay.
I think
you
this
have
is really good
to look at and so forth. And okay, and then one little other piece. What we do then is we have you take the criteria, evaluate the possibility of using the criteria, and we see which ones match the most. And I know you saw where I was going, but I felt like I had to say it.
Is it mostly done over Skype or the phone or in person?
Phone.
Yeah. Okay.
And it works
the
best over the phone. And what we're doing, though, is we are pointing you to the Donna Schilder website, and we're pointing you to, and documents are going back and forth between us, and we have a Google Doc that we're going to work on together. And so we have a process worked out. If you wanted, a Skype now and then, we could do, one introductory Skype. But I personally don't find that, I find Skype distracting. I really find that the voice works the best for me.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
Okay. So, and it makes it more convenient, and people are more consistent, and it's really about 95% of coaching is done on the phone these days. So, let me go back. And so, one question I need to ask is, what time of day do you need a coach?
Say it again?
What time of day would you need to have a coach coach you?
Oh, definitely at the end of the day.
So, like, around 5 or 6 or?
I mean, it really depends, but I would say, anywhere from, 6 to 8.
6 to 8, okay.
I mean, I'll be, it depends. Like, sometimes I'll be in the car at 6, but I don't think that's a great time to talk.
No, we want you to be in a place.
Yeah.
Where you can focus and look at the internet and all. So it's more like 7.
I mean, I could also do it like a Sunday afternoon.
Okay. I might have a coach that would do a Sunday afternoon.
Afternoon. I could also do a, at the end of the day when I'm
like
actually at home, which would be, 7 or 8.
Okay. So, and you're West Coast. So I think that rules me out as a coach for you. I just don't coach within those time parameters. So let me let you know how the schedule and the pricing goes.
That sounds great. And do you guys do like a certain amount, like a packet, or is it just like one session?
What we do is monthly, and we do either 3 or 2 times per month. I suggest for career exploration 3 times per month. And your accountant would tell you it's deductible. We can't tell you that because we're not accountants, and that wouldn't be ethical.
What wouldn't be ethical? I'm sorry.
If I told you it was deductible, I would be telling you as if I were an accountant. So I'm just staying within my ethics. I can't tell you that it's deductible, but I've had plenty of tax accountants tell me that it is. So
Okay. I can ask my accountant.
Okay, awesome. So, and it usually, to really do it, because you're going to go off and do activities and you're going to do research, really to do it fully is 3 months to do the exploration. Sometimes people can finish faster, but I would say, 9 sessions.
I know, it would be good if I, you might provide me with it, but, it would be good to maybe just do a test, because I would hate to be locked into something where, the person that I don't vibe, I've had that in therapy.
Well,
absolutely
what I'm going to do is I'm going to set you up with a consult with a complimentary consult, just like what we're doing. with a coach, and then if that doesn't seem like it's a match, I'm going to have you do another one. So what I'm going to do right now is look at their schedules and see who would be able to match up.